You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/CFRN. Over 85,000 titles. Choose from mystery, romance, religion, science, technology, business, New York Times bestsellers, even children's books. You name it, Audible has it. With 85,000 titles to choose from, you're sure to find the perfect audiobook for yourself or to give as a gift, and it's absolutely free. Just point your browser to audibletrial.com/CFRN. That's audibletrial.com/CFRN. And become a part of the audiobook revolution by downloading your free audiobook today. audibletrial.com/CFRN.
www.cfrn.net. Every trading day from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living.
Good afternoon, traders, and welcome back to the CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast. This is the daily broadcast of indeterminate length, where we discuss all things E-Mini, along with some really big ideas on the finer points of trading gold, bonds, crude, sugar, the euro, and even T-bills. Joining us today from our studios in Boston, Mr. Michael Bork. From our trading desk in Chicago, Mr. Burton Schlichter. And from our studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, Mr. David Williams. Now, to get things started, let's go to our host and founder in Studio A, overlooking South Mountain, America's largest city park. Here's Dwayne.
Good afternoon, friends. Welcome back. Today is Tuesday, 12th day of July, 2011. Let's have a quick look at the numbers. The Dow is up 20 points. S&P is up 2.25. The comp is down 5. Wow, what a night. Last night on the Asian Open, thing fell like a rock. Now, let me show you this on the hourly chart. Let me look and see if my co-host Michael has arrived. And that would be a no. Don't see him. All right. Carry on. Okay. Let me shrink this down just a little bit. Put it in perspective. This goes back to Friday. Here's the open on Sunday night. Here's all day Monday. Now here's today. Now this is like one of those drawings that they would give you in school as a kid when they would go, "What's different about this picture?" Well, it's pretty easy to see. Blue candles going up. Red candles coming down. Blue candles going up. Okay, looks like we got a question in here already. Okay, that's going to be a Michael question. George, because you guys are in that game on your own. So, as soon as Michael gets here, I'll have him feel that question. See if he can give you some enlightenment. But the rest of you, welcome to today's show. Okay, back to this. Let's have a look at this thing. I mean, seriously, what value is it, really? I mean, I'm not saying that jokingly or tongue-in-cheek or any of that. I rolled back to June 24th. So, just so that's not an arbitrary thing, I'll roll back to here. Which, I guess, would still be arbitrary. How far do you want me to go? Alright. Okay, you got some red candles here. You've got a white candle, which is the potential change of trend, warning candle. It's not an action candle, it's a heads up. Hey, look, something might be about to change. And I could just keep going back, but then we'd never get done, so I'm not going to go back any further. But those of you who are CFRN partners and you have the indicator set, of course you can go back and take a look, scroll back a little farther. We get blue, and we're running just the MA1 on this chart, and we get to here, get a little pullback. Okay, here's some red, some white, some blue, some white. Now, these are hourly candles, so live in real time, you got to be going, well, wait a minute. Okay, it's white. Do I get in here? Okay, it just opened blue. Do I get in here? Okay, this isn't a get in here, get out there chart. Okay, this is a big picture, hey, what's really going on kind of a thing. And from a bigger picture, when are things changing or potentially changing? See, if you can just know when something is about to potentially change, that's huge. If you're short and this comes along, you might want to get out. If you're long and this comes along, you might want to get out. Okay? Now, whether you get short here or not, it's entirely up to you. But if you're short here and this comes along, wow, you might want to get out. But you see what I'm saying? There's Michael. Okay, good morning. Good morning, Michael. Or good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. Okay, he's there. He's just not going to play along. Okay.
Hey, I'm here. I got something I got to take care of right this moment. I'll be right back, okay?
Okie doke. Well, there you go. Okay, got a question over here. I'll stop for a moment to answer that. The question is from Iman. What is the line indicating? Is that what you're asking me? You're going to have to clarify that question for me a little bit. Because I've only got one line on the chart, I assume you mean the MA1. Okay, the color blue, bullish. The color red, bearish. Now, I grew up in the school of green is bullish, red is bearish. How we got into the whole blue-red thing, I don't even know. But we did. Is that what you're asking me, Eamon? I apologize if I mispronounced your name. You're asking about the MA1. Okay. All right. I'll wait for you to type in an answer. So, the MA1 is blue here. Price is rising. Okay. Is there any guarantee based on any of this how high it's going to go? Why do I have two bullish and two bearish indicators? Just two's better than one. Because here I've got a red MA1 and blue candles. So what am I going to do there? Nothing. Over here I have a beautiful pullback. Blue candle pulling back to a blue MA1. See, right here I've got bull bear. I don't want to trade that. Over here I've got bull. Bullish candle pulls back to a blue MA1. I can take that long. I can actually enter this. Now, I just said this isn't a get in, get out chart because it's hourly. This is to give you a big picture backdrop as to what's going on in the market and what may be changing in regards to the underlying trend. That here, you can see, is a beautiful pullback. You've got a bullish blue candle pulling back to a blue MA1, and this thing rallies for some 1280 to 1292, about 12 points. Okay, nice move. It's on an hourly chart. And then price gets on the back side of the MA1. That's a heads up that something may be changing. The MA1 changes color red. Price drops. White candle, potential change of trend. Okay. We just barely take out this previous swing high. We get another potential change of trend. And then price drops. Price drops from 1280 all the way down to 1260. All right, potential change of trend, and it rolls. And I'm not going to pick apart every one of these because it's the same thing over and over. The only reason I rolled back to the left is I didn't want you to just think I was trying to cherry pick what happened today. Okay, let me mute that mic. Okay, there we go. All right. Pull back here. And drop. See? Your question about why two bullish, two bearish indicators. Okay, here's a perfect example of why. First, price gets on the back side of the MA1. Potential change of trend, right? Price has been moving up. Now price may move down. Pull back right here to the MA1. Okay. That's a to the tick kind of entry. If I were buying and selling against this chart, it's not always going to be that picture perfect. Price drops from 1280 down to 12, below 1260. It's a 20-point move. Now, the same thing happens again. Price gets on the other side. We get a warning candle, potential change of trend, and price then rallies. See, now, if you got here at the tick, right at the pullback, which would have been 1265.50, you suffered a drawdown of 1261.75. See, that may be more than most people have in their risk profile, which is why we look to smaller time frames to actually take our entry on these types of pullbacks. But there's the move up. And again, the only reason I scrolled back was just to show you the consistency of this, not to try to convince you that this is the slickest thing in town and you really need it. I was just showing you the hourly chart. And I wanted you to see how long we stayed bullish on that up move, how many days, okay? Then things started to change. Now, here's Friday. We had that huge red candle to the downside. I wrote about it on the blog. You know, this says a lot. Yeah, this was off the employment numbers that we got on Friday. Now, at a huge move like that, you'd expect a pretty good reaction, a pretty good pullback, pretty good bounce, and we got one. But then on Sunday night, the downward move continues. And notice that we never go back to blue candles. We never get a white warning candle. Now, here's that bearish, bullish conflict here that you're asking about, Amin. And see what happens? We come down, and then right here, if you're trading Globex Monday morning, if you took that entry there to the short side, carried you all the way down, and I said all of that to get to this point here. Hey, we went down and put in new lows last night. This was initially, off the Asian Open, we had a big drop down to 1308, and I put that on the blog. And I'll show you a picture of that in just a moment. But then, on the London Open, we continued down to put in new lows at 1296. This morning, we rallied. Okay, we had a white candle, potential change of trend. And from the close of that candle that said we could have a potential change of trend, okay, the next candle opened at 1312, and we're now trading at 1317.50, and we've been as high as 1319.5. So my point in going through all of that was simply to say, it's a good idea to have some type of big picture backdrop going on so that you get an idea of if you want to be getting yourself into long trades or short trades. If you had this chart working yesterday, I mean, if you go down to smaller time frames, remember this is an hour, if you go down to smaller time frames, were there probably some long opportunities given out yesterday? Was there some little, you know, pops? Sure, I'm sure there were. But is that where you want to be? Or do you want to be where the wind is at your back? Okay. In other words, selling the rallies. Okay. Anytime price rallies up, so you have to pull back there. There's one there, one there. Now, we can go to smaller time frames and see that happen a little more clearly. If we go to our 10K or 2100 or 500 contract, this is just to give you a big picture idea. Okay. Now, I went all the way back to whatever it was, 21st of June. Again, not to try to sell you on an indicator, but just to point out the importance of having some kind of an idea what the bigger picture trend is. Okay? They say the trend is your friend, blah, blah. But if you don't know what the trend is, how's that going to help you? Now, this is a trend based purely on an hourly chart. Okay? This thing has gone to blue, bullish, okay, in an hourly time frame. If I were to take this to, I don't know, a four-hour time frame or daily, you know, we might see something entirely different. So you've got to know what time frames you're operating in, what multiple time frames you're going to use. Okay, I'm going to look at an hourly, or I'm going to look at a half hour, and then I'm going to go to that smaller time frame, and I want to be a part of any bullish move, where over here you would be selling rallies. Here, you might want to be buying dips. If you want to buy the really big dip, that's down at about 1310 right now. Okay. Now, on the sentiment indicator, yesterday afternoon we closed. We came within a tick of tagging the sentiment indicator, and then we dropped all the way to 1311. From 1318 to, well, actually on the overnight we went all the way down to 1291. Is that correct? 1296. So how many points is that, Michael?
The drop all the way down to 1296?
Yeah.
Man, I had 13, to mute 18. Myself here.
Yeah, it was huge. Anyway.
It was a big drop.
Huge. If I go back here and we go to 1318 is where the market closed. Okay. Now, interesting dynamic, okay? Yesterday, we hit the sentiment indicator at 1318, and then we dropped to 1296 overnight. Huge move. Now we have a potential change of trend, but we're right up against that same area. And look what happened when we hit that area. We pulled off of it. Now if we look at today's sentiment indicator, which is an intraday chart, this does not show the overnight Globex activity. In answer to your question, Jason, on that one-hour chart, all that I have on the one-hour chart is the CFMA1, which is the backbone of our indicator set, and I have the CFTC, which is the trend change indicator, and there's a video for you in the members area that shows you how to set it up so that you make sure you get that potential change of trend warning candle, okay? And that's it. That's all I'm running on the hourly chart. So, back here, see how we're right back to that same area? Okay. All this business got done on the overnight down to 1296. On this intraday chart, you cannot see that. Okay. That's why on my hourly, I'm always running a Globex. In fact, every chart I have is Globex, with the exception of this chart here, where I run my sentiment indicator. So this is an important area. Let's do it like this. Important area here. If we break to the upside, that's going to confirm a bullish continuation based off the hourly. But what do we typically see on these kinds of moves? We see price pulling back into that MA1 all the way down the move, sometimes even overshooting it a little bit, but always pulling back to it. Okay. reverting to the mean. So from up here, I say the potential is, now, and this is important, price could pull all the way back to 1310. It could even go further. It could go 1308, maybe even a little further. Okay. And this bullish change of trend would remain intact. Could this be the end of the move? Could it be done? Could we reverse off of here, go back, test the low? That is certainly possible. Okay. But at least you know what you're looking at, and you know what the possibilities and probabilities, more importantly, are. And these are them. Okay. In the 2100, which is a much smaller time frame, we have a bearish setup right here, a short trade, which would confirm a rejection of the sentiment indicator, and which would fly right in the face of this if it were not for the fact that we fully expect price to pull back to the MA1 at some point. MA1 rises, price falls, but they connect somewhere. And it's where they connect that it becomes important, because it either acts as support or as resistance. Okay? And can it punch through it a little bit and then continue down? Yeah. That was my point in saying that, see how we had red candles all the way down? Even though the MA1 had a little flash of blue here. Okay? Little flash here, but look where we are now and look where we are here. Yeah. So the trend has changed. Will it, based on an hourly time frame, can that hold? We'll find out as price and the MA1 meet up, as this rejection plays out and this short setup here comes down. See, we've pulled back to the MA1, a cycle indicator is red, and it went blue, went red. I'm not crazy about that kind of a setup, but as soon as this thing hooks down, as soon as this cycle hooks, then this thing is going to drop potentially to 1312. The next spot on a swing low would be 1311, and if we go back over here to our hourly, where's that at? At 1310. Okay. So we want to trade in there. Now, if this is telling us, obviously, if we look at the big picture, we can see that the trend is down. Okay. This hasn't moved enough for most people to go, the trend is now reversed. But our indicators tell us that, yeah, you know what, maybe it has. Okay. And so I'm now ready to buy a dip, but I want the dip here. So I'm going to look at this. I'm going to let this do its thing on the downside. I'm not saying you can't trade this, because you can. Okay. But I want to see this come down, turn up, confirm what I'm seeing over here, which will probably be in that 13, 10, 11-ish area. And then we get a trade back up to challenge the high, which is 13, almost 1320. So if we were able to get long off all the 1310-11 area, that's a beautiful trade, if it presents itself. So we have to wait and see. So far, we're still dealing with the sentiment indicator, the line in the sand. You know, we tried to break above it, and it's not happening. We also have another dynamic to layer on top of that, which is the Fed notes release, which comes out in what, 2 hours, Michael?
2 o'clock. Yeah, 2 o'clock. One and a half hours.
All right. Okay, so that's kind of my take on where we're at. Oh, and did I throw in, it was a really quiet morning, and probably the best trade we had was let me move this down. We had, and this was pointed out by, I think Wayne pointed that out. I'll go ahead and just throw it up here for you. you folks that are liking the Euro, we had a zone right here. Missed that by one pip. And now has run from that zone from 35 to 86. I don't know, that's off the top of my head, 51. Well, it went further than that. It went to 93.
You carry the one, yeah. That's right.
So, I don't know, 60 pips, whatever. All right, Michael, I'm turning the mic over to you. Say clever things.
All right, I'll say clever things. I apologize for not being here exactly at the
top of the
hour.
Oh, no problem, man. Not a problem.
Yes, the 6E, actually, if you scroll left a little bit, it actually did go into that zone right there. It was 3930, 3935 was the level right there. And it dropped all the way down to 3928 right there. 3928. And that was actually where we mentioned taking a long off of the zone and getting out of there.
Yeah, okay. Right. Yeah, and for those now, of you that are new, I mean, the zones, they go out to the partners prior to the open on Monday, and then they stay the same all week. So, back to you.
Yes, they do. Now, of all the markets that we traded this morning, you know, we took a YM trade that we lost 7 ticks on. We took a Russell trade we made a couple ticks on. We took a corn trade that stopped us out and then went in our direction. Then we took a bunch of 6E trades. We had this morning, we had 29, I think, 29 pips or 29 ticks profit on the 6E. You know, we were taking, for the most part, we were just snapping out 6 ticks at a time, or, you know, 8 ticks at a time here and there where we could. A couple times we got less than that. A couple times we got, I think, most of the morning we got 6. The 6E has been the one market that's been actually tradable this morning. You know, the other markets have just been uncooperative, really. You know, they've been going sideways, and it's not that we don't have enough volume. You know, the volume, though, has died right off. You know, the last time I mentioned the volume in the live trading room about, I don't know, an hour and a half ago, we had 1.5 million, and now we only have 1.8 million, 1.85 million. So we've got 350,000 in the last hour and a half. You know, comparatively, hour over hour, the volume's dropping right off, and it probably will until the Fed notes come out. That said, the market that has been tradable has been the 6E. You know, we've been trading it with just the elbow indicator and the MA1 on a faster time frame on a 4-tick range chart. We've been trading it that way, and it's, you know, following a simple plan. It's definitely been working out well. We actually just had a short here a few minutes ago. A short opportunity from 39.71. 39.71, so it's already gone through the initial 6-tick profit target. You know, it's just been chipping off these 6-tick profits over and over and over again. And, you know, they add up. They add up. At the end of the day, it's what counts. I think with all the markets that we traded this morning in the live trading room, I think at the end of the morning we ended up with about $247 profit per contract. That's including all the markets that we traded, all the losses, all the wins. So that was a pretty good morning, all things considered, on a relatively flat day. I don't know what the rest of the day is going to be like, but I'm guessing it's going to be flat for the next hour and a half anyway, probably even more than that. I would say it's probably going to be flat for the next 2 hours. You know, when the meeting notes come out, the FOMC notes come out, you know, the market will probably fluctuate a little bit, but it's not like it used to be. You know, I think right now there's just so much indecision and uncertainty in the markets. You know, yesterday the markets were dumping all over the weakness in the European area. And today we just don't have anything. Nothing to push us one way or the other. I think I've said that 5 times. But overall, the Dow's up 11 points right now. Comps down 7. There's just nothing here. That's it.
George had a comment for you at the very beginning.
I did see that. I read it. I wasn't sure.
Is that something that you wanted to talk to him about here, or was he sending that to
sure.
you?
Sure. So no.
Was that like a secret handshake? Or?
I'm not sure which market you're talking about there, George. Are you talking about the 6E, or are you talking about the TF, or the Russell? Okay, George has, from 6 a.m. to 12 p.m., he's 11 and 5. Okay, all right. Nope, I see your last one. You're 11 and 5. Are you able to enter a little better? What I'm doing, George, is waiting for the actual bar to close. I'm not putting a buy stop at the top of it so that wick would get you in the trade and then it doesn't close where it's supposed to close. Okay, I think that's probably the difference.
George, so that I understand you correctly, you're saying that on the 6E, using the setup that you guys were using this morning, that you've made a total of 16 trades. 11 of those trades, you took a 6-tick profit, and 5 of those trades, you took a 6-tick loss. Do I have that correct?
Yeah, I think that's what he's suggesting, and that would be a net of 36 ticks. I do. That would be a net of 36 ticks, right, plus 36.
Well, George, there's only one thing I can say about that. Oh, that was the wrong one.
There we go. Right, 36 ticks at 12.5%.
$1,319.00 selling territory.
David, I think you're speaking into the wrong
microphone. Here, I'll throw a little mute on him.
All right.
That's his clandestine way of going out. Guys, it's time to bring me on
the
show.
Guys, I'm here.
Guys, you're 3 minutes late again? No. He was doing
he's probably got a roadmap or something to put out.
Great. So I guess we go to him and he'll tell us all about it. Yeah. So, okay. So, George, what you're saying... Okay, guys, and we didn't pay George to say this, right? He's not a paid shill or anything. He's just one of the partners who's working really, really hard, and he's owning these indicators and not owning them in that he paid to become a partner, which he did, of course, but he's actually using them. He's putting on trades and taking off trades and really working hard, and I really appreciate your feedback, George. It's been really good. So you've got, after all the trades that you took, you've got 36 ticks profit net. You netted 36 ticks at $12.50 per tick. And so that's, and I'm not going to ask you how many contracts you trade because that's none of my business. But I do know that 36 times $12.50 equals $450 if you're just trading one contract. So, now, did you count? That doesn't account for your commissions, right?
No.
See, I'm just going to ask the ugly question here, because that's just, it's only fair. And so, I don't know if you're paying, what do people pay for a round trip? $6?
I don't know. Let's just say $6. 6 times 16.
Yep. 16 times 6 equals 96. So you shave $100 off the $450, and you're left with $350 per contract. Okay, and so that's outstanding, George. And I really like your spirit. You're in there every day. You're working it. You're trading it. You're clarifying it, defining it. And when you come up against something that's not working for you, you just say, "Hey, this is not working for me." And you're trying something different, and you're finding that niche, that thing that you can own and that you can do repeatedly, which will give you a high level of confidence. And Michael George is asking you, how often do you miss your fill?
All right. Well, when I'm on top of it, meaning when I'm focused on the market and I'm trading the market, if the question is how often does it tick on where my order is and I don't get filled, that doesn't happen very often. I can't give you a percentage or anything like that, but really it doesn't happen very often. And, you know, sometimes once it's closed where I need it to close for me to enter the trade, I might just enter at the bid or at the ask. So I'm a tick off of my precise entry. I mean, you see me do that in the mornings in the live trading room. I'll enter, you know, give or take one tick of where I want, where it's got to close for the trade to be okay to take. You know, so I guess the answer is. No, how often do I miss my fill? Not very often. Not very often. Yeah, I'm usually within a tick of it. Okay, and I know when I'm using a six tick range, that's a six tick bracket. That one tick is significant. But if it's gonna work, it's usually gonna work right away and you're gonna get your profit. And you know, it's not gonna access your risk all that much. That's what I found with it. Okay, most of the time.
Okay, for those of you who have not taken the free trial, cfrn.net/apply. It's a piece of cake. We don't need your credit card, your birth date, your mother's maiden name, just your name, your email address. You can come hang out with us for one full week behind the closed doors. You can see what we do, how we do it, what we trade, the indicators we use. You can see profitable trades. You can see us get stopped out on trades. You can see the real world of trading, okay? Not what you get shown sometimes in some places, but, you know, the actual nuts and bolts of putting on and taking off trades. I mean, that is trading, okay? The fancy pants, fast car stuff, you know, there's a lot of show and go there, but we're in the trenches doing the deal. If you want to come, get in the trenches with us, roll up your sleeves, figure out what it's really all about, and how you could actually translate it into an income, then we encourage you to come and join us. cfrn.net/apply. I don't think there's any place on the website you can go that you won't find a link to take you to the free trial button. If you've taken a free trial in the past and you frittered it away, not a problem. We know that life happens, you get busy. Send an email to secondchance@cfrn.net. I'll hook you up with a second free trial. Now, if you frittered away the second one, okay, you got some splaining to do. All right? we're not running a charity here. I am running a charity, but this isn't it.
Okay? This isn't it, right?
I'm trying to make some money over here so I can feed my charity. All right? With that said, anything else you want to say, Michael?
No, let's go out to David. Maybe he's got something exciting happening today.
All right, now, if you already if you're already on the free trial, partners meeting coming up in 2 days, Thursday night, 9 o'clock. Always a good time. Always some new and interesting stuff that we roll out just for the partners. So if you're interested in becoming a partner prior to the meeting Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, then you want to send an email to tech@cfrn.net, and Michael will send you the necessary paperwork so that you can be a partner before the meeting, and you can join us 9 p.m. Eastern Thursday night. Short break. We'll be right back with Mr. David Williams.
All right.
You're listening to CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living. To learn more about who we are, what we do, and how we do it, call toll-free 1-866-928-3310, and we'll send you out a no-obligation information kit absolutely free. 866-928-3310.
Thank you.
Good morning, Dwayne.
Good morning, David. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, David.
How are you doing?
I am all right. So far, so good.
Well, good. Well, how Dwayne, I'm doing good. Michael, thank you. Just waiting for Dwayne's lead. I follow Dwayne's lead here this morning.
You're the organ grinder, man.
All right. Well.
So, I think you probably already heard what I had to say for what that's worth. And that is that we just tagged the area where we closed yesterday.
Okay.
The globe, the day session right here. And then now we've just come up and ran into that again, and it served as resistance.
Okay.
So we're now sitting here staring at an hourly chart going, we've been bearish since midday Friday, and now we got a shot at this market moving higher. I mean, last night, I don't know if you were watching the Globex session last night, David.
Somewhat.
But when the Asian market opened, that thing just dropped.
Mm-hmm.
And then it kind of leveled off. And then the European market opened, London opened, and it dove all the way down to 1296. Now, is that a number that's of any importance to you in your work?
It is, and slightly above that as well. During yesterday's session, we weren't on at the time, but I mentioned that if the market, first of all, our target yesterday, the final target on the downside was 1312. And the reason why that was important for us anyway is because the completion of that would set up today as the next important bottom for us. You know, this came kind of coincided with the July 12th bottom that's in our turning point calendar. So we're expecting today to mark an important bottom for a multi-day advance off of these lows. This decline has been substantial. The market's volatility has definitely picked up, not necessarily intraday, because you can see how quiet it is here. But this is a good, relatively normal reaction off of the bottom that we made back in mid-June there, the weekly bottom. And I like this kind of setup before, like I've mentioned, because we're pulling back inside a larger uptrend.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the market already ran into some very important levels on the upside. 54 was the one that we had talked about being the likely final upside target. They did reach that, and we have had a good reaction off of that. We're now putting in a daily bottom, a turning point. So I like the idea of looking for long positions, unless you were trading on Globex. Speaking of Globex, you know, we didn't see and we're not able to see the 96 unless you're looking at Globex. And
yeah,
so
I happen to have it up for the folks right now so they can see it on this chart on the screen.
Yeah. They dove down real good, and that ostensibly finished off this, but the truth of the matter is we have plenty of time left in the day here for the market to make attempts of all kind, but we're in the on-time period for a bottom, and so that means that we want to start looking for reasons to be long, not necessarily just at this moment, but this is just the beginning, the earliest indication, because we still can have the one-day late period, but we're very, very close here, and I do like the fact that they tested two important levels, one of which was they spiked and tested the 12 level, almost reached the 09 level, which is the next level below that. And then on the Globex, they went down and tested important levels down there. So a lot has happened, and that's kind of tricky behavior that you see prior to more important reversals that we talk about so many times on the program. So we'll give it a little time here. It's very quiet here. You know, we're inside a relatively narrow, about a 10-point range here today, which isn't unusual, especially after yesterday's pretty good decline.
Mm-hmm.
We sold short just a short while back here against the 1319, 1320 level. And had us, you know, we got out of 13.1650, so a nice little clip on the downside. That's been about all we've done for today. We had some signals earlier for a bottom on the shorter term near the opening, but we were not able to get long during that time. So we'll wait and see if there's anything else. There probably will be another trade a little bit later today. And I think it would be fair to say that you know, a daily close today above 13.12 would be the stronger position. Below that would probably be considered the weaker position. But then we're also running out of time as we come into the one-day late period for a bottom. So I do like the idea of starting to look at your charts and seeing, you know, in your own way, whatever that is, whether you're using Dwayne's indicator set or you're looking at your own work or perhaps following something that we're doing, it's a good idea to maybe start looking at the earliest indications for new long positions. And, of course, the kind of move that this would be normally would be a multi-day advance. So to really take advantage of this and to really trend follow it or to be in it, you would have to almost certainly have to hold overnight positions. A lot of the decline that we're seeing here off of the 54 level, of course, coincides with the Europe crisis and the growing thing that we're seeing in Europe, where governments that have, you know, just neglected or just wrote off the idea that they needed to balance their budgets and watch the money and all that stuff, those governments are now in serious trouble. And we, if you take a look right now, we are sort of in that same position where we have an administration that wants to just completely discount the fact that we're $14 trillion in the hole. We practically are spending every year the entire amount that the economy produces from our government. Think about that. Every little lemonade stand, everything else that's out there, every big business, every IBM computer, every Google click-through, all of that, all added up, we're inching in on that is what the government owes. So you know government's gotten too big when its debt equals the GDP or the whatever, the gross national product. That's just insanity. But that isn't as insane as they want to be. What they want to do is they want to spend even more. It's not good enough that we are almost equaling our gross national product. They want to spend even more on the misguided idea that that will again bring us great prosperity. You and I, we have to balance our books, we have to manage our money, and if we don't manage our money and can't pay our debts or can't pay our taxes, we could go to jail. When the government spends trillions more than it can ever pay off, everyone gets a raise.
You know, you're saying trillion. I mean, and that's hard to even comprehend.
I know.
We've talked about it before, but on the blog, and I've got it up on the screen right now for folks to see, on the blog Friday night I wrote about a billion because the news was the Federal Reserve's $600 billion Treasury buying spree is over and the bond market's growing nervous, blah, blah, blah. Now, we've begun to just throw numbers like that around. $600 billion. Now you're talking about a trillion. That's more mm-hmm. than a billion. But this is 600.
It's a thousand of them.
This is 600.
I think it's a thousand of. Or it's either a. Yeah, it's a thousand of them.
It's
That's
more.
What it is.
Yeah.
It's 1,000 billion.
So, I then wrote, does anyone even understand what a billion really is? Try
it's
this.
A thousand million.
1 billion seconds from now, and this was Friday night. 1 billion seconds from now, it will be 9:43 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time in the year 2043. Now, that's 1 billion seconds, not 600 billion seconds. And so, I'm still counting. 1 Mississippi, 2 Mississippi, 3 Mississippi. I mean, mm-hmm. it's it doesn't... what did that guy used to say? That does not compute. Who said that?
Mm-hmm.
Whose line was that?
That was maybe the guy on Lost in Space. No, the robot.
Was that who that was?
Well, he said danger, Will Robinson, but he might have also said that doesn't compute.
Somebody said that does not compute. It must have been the robot, yeah.
Perhaps.
Okay, all right.
So my point was, though, that we're in that position, and they want to spend more, and that puts us into a position where we're starting to look a lot like what's happening in Europe, in Greece, in Spain. Why would we want to flirt with that same danger? Why would we want to put ourselves in a position where it seems so obvious that their problems are an exact replica of what we're doing now, except they're ahead of us a little bit? They already spent all their money. They already went into debt they can't get out of. They already can't tax people anymore. And now they're screwed, basically. And yet that's what our administration wants to do. Even though their last round of this, because he's been in office for 2.5 years, their last round of this didn't do anything at all. I mean, compared to what the job losses are. You know, we've got, 18 million people unemployed now. And he just can't bring himself every time he gets up and talks about it to brag about that he thinks he's created or saved 3 million jobs. You can't account for saved jobs, so it really is probably half or less that figure at an enormous expense. You can't buy your way out of a recession. You can manage the recession, but he's attempting to buy his way out, and he's not changing his tune. He's just going to do the same thing. That's what happened in Greece. That's what happened in Spain. That's what happened in Europe. And that's why they're burning. And that's why there's people in the streets screaming, because there are no jobs. Inflation is going through the roof, on and on and on. That's why the euro is going down so strongly, is because of the fears of what's happening in Europe. So it's ugly. You know, I don't know. I suppose there's a really good argument for their side, why they think we need to do this to stimulate the economy. But when the government has increased its size by close to 30% in just 2.5 years, this is an administration that's into big government. They think government is what makes America great. It's the individuals that make America great. Government is the backdrop. It's not the government that makes us great. It's not the government that makes jobs. It's individuals. You know, the White House was not going to come up with the iPhone. The White House was not going to come up with computers. The White House wasn't going to come up with all these things. And yes, some of these things come from the military, which is a whole different thing. But the fact is that it's the entrepreneurs, the entrepreneurial spirit, the desire to make yourself and your family a better life, that, and the opportunities to do that, the incentive and the opportunity to do that, that makes America great. So, you know, one of the really, really bizarre and shocking numbers about this administration is that they've added on more debt in 2.5 years, roughly speaking, than the combined debt of all previous United States presidencies. Now you let that sink in. The combined debt of every president that's ever been in office, this guy has added in 2.5 years. More than that.
Well,
can you spell spendthrift? You know, I mean, all this guy wants to do is spend. And, you know, America can collapse. I'm on the side of the conspiracy theorists. I'm actually starting to believe that it's possible that his plan and the reason he doesn't have economists and people who've ever been out in the real world on his staff is because he's really planning to just crumple America and just put as many roadblocks to us coming and remaining capitalistic and the head of the world as he can. I'm not saying that's absolutely what he's doing, but I am, you know, you could make an argument now because of what it's so obvious that these kinds of plans are destroying the other half of the earth, why he would want to go in and do those very same things to us. Go ahead, Lynn.
No, I'm not going to go there because the comments in the chat room could potentially give you a stroke, and our insurance doesn't cover that. So,
well, they're not going to hurt my feelings, but
it's not about hurting your feelings. It's just about we'll spend the next hour talking about it.
No, all right, I know.
And some
what
of the
saying.
Other guys want to hear about the markets. I know, and I understand what you're saying, and I there you know, I'm not ignoring your comment.
Think about
James.
It as an introduction.
I just don't agree
that's
with
all.
It, but you know, anyway. And so,
listen, James West. I'm James West.
I have no idea.
He didn't always
James.
Shoot his gun. Sometimes he had to do other things. So just keep that in mind. I model my life after the philosophies that he had. Anyway, let's get on to the markets here. Okay, so real quick, let's just review what we're talking about with regard to the S&P. July 12th is the next important bottom. I mentioned yesterday that if they hit the 12 level, that our turning point calendar would be updated. That did happen, and we are at a critical juncture here on the downside. And every hour that goes by, it actually inches towards, you know, the odds go further in our favor. So that's where we are right now. We'd like to see today close. It doesn't have to, but as far as I'm concerned, it'd probably be preferable to see them close above 1312, although it doesn't have to. That I would prefer to see that in today's daily close. So I think that's the like the biggest indication that we have right now for the S&P. I hope that's useful.
Somebody says they just sent me an email here. His stuff's usually pretty good. Let me look at it and see what it says.
Okay.
Can't bring it up on the big screen now because I've got to get an adapt. You don't need to know about that. I got an email from Mike Reed. He says, I thought I'd let you guys know I'm going to try to be on the show tomorrow. Just a small setback,
great,
but I am getting better. I really appreciate prayers and thoughts from all the listeners. Talk to you soon.
Oh. So
that's just in from Mike.
Okay. Great to hear.
It's a video that was sent to me. It's neither Democratic or Republican. Just listen. And unfortunately, I can't do... Well, here, let me look at the video, and then I'll figure out a way to display it tomorrow. It's from Keith. Keith usually sends me some pretty good stuff.
Good.
And I don't know if just the audio would make sense, or if we would actually need to be able to see the video as well. So, government gone wild. Yeah, I think we need the video as well, so... This does look pretty good. You know what? I'm just clever enough. You know, let's talk about the markets. I'll have this queued up. We'll look at it tomorrow.
Okay.
All right, let's do that. In the interest of everyone's time, because it'd take me 5 minutes to get it set up. So.
Well, while I'm talking, I usually can go for 5 minutes or more, sometimes seven, and you could be setting it up if you want to.
Stuff you're talking about
is that
really
Bert
is
in the
about the market.
Yeah, but don't tell anybody.
Oh, okay. Bert may have something to say. Go ahead.
No, just whatever. A question. If this is a daily bottom, is the 1342 level the projected target for this?
I think we mentioned something yesterday on the show about 1342, but
you did?
Roughly speaking, yeah, did I? Okay. That would just be a a sort of a general target. So I don't want people to take it too seriously, and it was just rough-edged. I actually want to do a little bit of further work with what happened today. But yes, that would be there's a couple of good places to take profits on the upside here, but this could actually turn into a roadmap as well where we would just give the specific trade to target or the specific target for it. But yeah, I like the idea of that. That's a that's definitely reasonable. Price move on the upside. So keep that in mind. I do like that.
Right.
We've checked around. There's a couple of other markets that are exhibiting stuff like this as well. In other words, with regard to turning points, I like that as well. Let me see if we have something of importance here that I wanted to mention. The Treasury notes, the 10-year Treasury note is often this is a market that's sort of the inverse of the S&P. It's not always that way, but that's something. So that's a market that's putting in a top. There's a possibility that I could show you something off of my screen which might be a little easier to read. Also, the euro, speaking of markets that would have a corollary timing point, today would also be a bottom for the euro market. This is the September euro. So the market has declined on all these other things that we talked about earlier, but today would be the bottom. This is the on-time bottom as the S&P is putting in a top. So you see we have a number of different markets here that have important dates coming in for a period right in this time frame. Originally on the euro, when we first came out with our forecast for it off the weekly chart, you'll recall this, Duane, and this was for the week of June 27th, we had called for the market to go up a total of 800 ticks. I don't know if you remember us mentioning that the forecast for that bottom was, I wasn't sure if it was $8, but the initial move was going to be about 400 ticks up, then a pullback, and then a continued move up.
So you're talking about the euro, David?
I'm talking about the euro. As a matter of fact, if you don't mind, I think I can display this. If you want, if you can switch that over to me,
sure.
I'll grab it from you real quick.
Coming right at you.
Okay, I'm just going to show. This is a shot of the euro here. Tell me if you can see this.
I can see it.
Okay, so the original thing that we had talked about was for the euro to make a bottom on this week right here. This is the week that we were looking for a bottom, and the market was initially going to go up the first half of the move, which is 400 ticks. And what happened was is the market actually ended up inverting, as I talked about, and instead of this week being the bottom for an 800 tick move, it actually made this week the top. So this actually clarifies what I was trying to say yesterday a little better. So that the market would actually express the full amount of that energy, which is approximately 800 ticks, from this high going down. So now if you take a look and see what that high was, which was 145.47, and if you subtract approximately 800 ticks, it would bring you down to, 137.47, and the low has been 138.11. I mean, just within ticks so far of completing the approximate 800 tick move. This is the proof that the market needed to express an $8 move. This was what we read as the bottom, and it certainly closed well, but it really was an up, it went up to the initial target of 400 ticks and then reversed and did the full move. That's what an inversion looks like. So we're looking for this, and it ended up doing this. I currently don't have a way with great certainty of knowing when an inversion is going to happen. It's something that I do want to put some time and attention on, and I do want to try to think outside the box for it because it hasn't been obvious to me. It doesn't happen, it's a 10%, 12% thing. It only happens once in a while. But the fact that they did the 800 tick move down shows that we had correctly identified what the market needed to do using spatial relationship forecasting, but that it ended up being a top for 800 down rather than a bottom for 800 up. So this is a good example, a good visual example of that. I don't know if you have any comment on that or not, Duane, because I can move on. I wanted to show a couple other little...
Sure, no, go right ahead. Does anyone have... if anyone has any questions, type them in.
Yeah. This is soybeans. We also, as you can see yesterday, put in a top on July 11th. This is another market that had the July 12th turning point, but this happens to work out on this market one day early. So I'm going to open that up for you a little bit. So you can see that we've declined off of that. We got down to about 1334. If this market, now this market also has a weekly bottom. I just want to show you something. Let's go over to the weekly chart. We had forecast this week right here as a bottom, the week of June 27th.
Mm-hmm.
That week is the same week that we forecast the bottom for the euro. So the market has now advanced, and under most conditions, it's going to go higher than this, so that this daily top really is just a pausing place for higher prices. Normally, the market would have a move, would be able to complete a move down to about 1325 or so. Today we've gotten down to 1333. As long as they continue to close above roughly 1337, 1336, that means there's a lot of bullish pressure in the market. Closes above 1336 on the November wheat, or November soybeans, I'm sorry. And the market would then, we'd want to be looking for long entries, but I want to give the market a little further time here to, we're actually still short in this from a position from yesterday, holding for an aggressive final exit. So they're firming up very nicely here. We would normally expect, even after a pullback to 25, if they even gave that, for the weekly chart to continue to express itself on the upside. So that's another important market to keep your eye on. It's another indication of how the turning points all occur on the same dates for certain markets. It's certain groups of markets will do the same thing. Then here's the Japanese yen. I had forecast on the program that July 7th was going to be a bottom for a volatility cycle in the Japanese yen. This is now obviously about a week ago. Mm-hmm. And one day late, on July 8th, the market spiked way down. I mentioned it on the program that next day that that was the beginning, likely, of an up move, but it would have been tricky to be in it. And you can see that this move is much larger than any of the previous moves on the whole rest of the chart here. Mm-hmm. And this is why the concept of the volatility cycle is very important, because there's a way to know in advance that volatility, as I've just shown on the in your show many times, that volatility is going to enter the market in a much larger than normal way. If you were to draw, you know, this is the current volatility of the market, isn't it? You know, its range is bound, and this is obviously a breakout. But this is the kind of thing that can be forecast to appear at a specific point in time, like the day of July 7th plus or minus one day. So it happened to come in one day late, and then it closed, and now the market's expressing that volatility on the upside. The volatility cycle is related to spatial relationship forecasting, because all three of the dimensions of the market are in movement at all times. And so there are certain points, there's a principle at work. It's not like a law. It's not as good for me as a law, but a principle is good enough. We can work with that. And that principle shows that at certain points, when those three moving entities get into a certain position, it means that one of them has to express themselves in order to balance the other two. And there's a way to know that in this particular case, it would be volatility would have to come back in, big movement, in order to offset the positions of the other dimensions. And so that's kind of a very general way of expressing what the volatility cycle is. And I've demonstrated it, you know, 50 times on your program, but it's a wonderful way to know that a big and an important move is about to occur. You still have to trade very carefully, like I've said so many times on the program, because you can't ever be 100% certain about anything. You have to understand that certainty, the only thing you can have is high probability. And so once you have high probability, then you want to take a trade and work with that as best as you can. But you have to manage the risk. And in this particular case, I didn't trade the Japanese yen. I've just been watching it because I'm really relatively new to this. But I'm very glad to see that the volatility cycle took effect like it should, number one. And number two, this would possibly, most probably, had you been long, would have almost certainly stopped you out, and you would have to re-enter that position. A difficult thing to do sometimes when the market closes this powerfully. But that's some of the challenges that we all face in the markets, is that you know, you really do earn the money that you make in the market. It's not free money. You have to. There's some payment that has to be made, and that's true in all cases in life. There's really, even if it appears free, there's a payment that had to be made. Everything is paid for in life. You have to get up in the morning and realize that there's a payment that has to be made, and you should be happy to pay it, because it's the attempt to not make the payment that gets you in so much trouble in life. That's where trouble comes from, is I don't want to pay. But there is a payment to be made one way or the other. And if you learn to, I hate to use a word like embrace the concept, but if you learn to agree with the idea that you have to pay for everything on some level that you get, then you will be in a much better position, and you'll be much more active in engaging in life instead of trying to get away without paying, so to speak. I'm not talking necessarily, obviously, we're not just talking about money, but we're talking about the payment that we all make in many, many different ways to have something, to gain something, to have received something. So part of in making money in the markets, there's a payment to be made, obviously. What is that? We have to learn about the markets, we have to study, we have to pay some money to learn, you know, or buy books or go to courses, and et cetera, et cetera. And there's other payments as well, one of which is the you have to pay with somewhat uncertainty in some of these positions. You have to be willing to step up and take a risk in order to be in what high probability has told you is going to happen. And so there's always a payment, and you might think to yourself, this is just a 30-second thing. Am I living a life where I'm not willing to pay? Or am I living a life where I'm looking forward to paying because I know that's how things really work, that you really do have to pay? You don't get, you know, it looks free, but it really isn't. And it's very nice, you know, it's very pleasant to have gold bricks dropped on the ground in front of you. But the truth of the matter is that for all practical purposes, you really end up paying for everything on some level. And it's the unwillingness to be a payer that makes it so difficult to get something done or do something correctly. It's a bigger subject than that, but I mean, you get the idea. So
the last gold brick that fell from the sky hit me smack dab on the head.
Yeah, well, you're...
They had to take me to the emergency room in an ambulance, and it was all done, and it was time to settle up the bill. I said, well, how much is it? And the lady said, one gold brick.
I just made you the presenter, Dwayne, because I wanted to point those things out. Tell me if you got that.
You didn't like my gold brick story, huh?
Okay. No, I do. Actually, I know people
sense.
Who gold bricks could fall from the sky in front of them, right on the ground, and they're just there for the taking, and they would be angry because they could have been hit in the head.
Yeah, but then when I went to the emergency room and got patched up, the payment for services rendered was one gold brick.
Well, there you are.
See? Yeah, it's probably a lot deeper than this show has time to explore.
Yeah, that's
so.
That's way deep.
Whoa.
Anyway,
All right, I'm gonna juggle a lot of balls in the air at one time, and quite frankly, folks are gonna be amazed and astounded if it works and doesn't crash. But let's see what people are seeing right now. Let me go to the... I can't see that. Okay, here we go. And here we go. Let's see. Screen one. Okay. There it is. Uh-huh.
This is Blazing Goalie again for another installment of Government Gone Wild. You know, we keep on hearing that if we want to get Congress back on track to representing us, that we need to get the special interests out of politics, and I wholeheartedly agree. But what most fail to realize is that government itself is its own special interest and will do and or say almost anything to protect itself. Now stay tuned, because at the end of this video, I'm going to show you why our freedoms may be at stake if we don't cut government soon. Our federal government has seen an explosion in its size over the last 10 years, and both political parties are to blame for this. How big has it grown? Over the last decade, the number of private sector employees has grown only 1%. But the number of federal government employees has grown 15%. We are now out of the era of big government and into the era of enormous government. Basically, Congress used this recession to expand government and entrench government workers. When this recession started, while you are worrying about paying the bills and keeping a roof over your family's head, the Transportation Department had just one employee making over $170,000 a year. Today, that number is 1,690 employees. When this recession started, while you are worrying about keeping your job and putting food on your table, the Department of Defense had 1,868 employees making over $150,000 a year. Today, that number is 10,100 employees. In fact, when this recession started, the number of federal employees making more than $100,000 a year doubled in less than 2 years. And when you include salary and benefits, the average total compensation for a private sector employee in 2009 was $61,000. Now, take a guess what the average total compensation for a federal government employee was in 2009. a whopping $123,000, more than double that in the private sector. Do you really think these people will vote against any spending cuts? Now, this is the important part. There are approximately 21,300,000 government employees in this country. We'll talk about special interests. About 16% of this nation's voting electorate works for government. And most people have at least one person close to them, like a spouse, who will vote with them in an effort to keep their job. Well, that means at least 32% of the voting electorate will come out and vote against anyone who talks openly about spending cuts. And when that number hits 50%, well, it's game over, folks. And then we, the people, will be in the permanent minority. And therein lies the hidden danger of big government. Now, the only way we can make a difference is if people hear this message. Please forward this video to everyone you know before we wake up one day and it's too late. Well, that's it for this edition of Government Gone Wild. Be sure to visit our website and sign up for our email updates and become a fan on Facebook and suggest it to all of your friends.
Well, Keith, thank you very much for that. That was very interesting. I assume, David, you could see it. He always leaves when I
Yes, I can. No, I'm right here, Dwayne. I'm right
teasing.
Here. Why are you always so concerned? Don't worry.
I'm sensitive that way.
Sometimes you go away and get a cup of coffee. You go get your dry cleaning done. I wait for 2 seconds before I answer, and you're crippled.
And I just come unglued, yeah. I'm just that sensitive. It's a little disconcerting when the lips don't match up with the voice, but, yeah, I couldn't fix that.
I've grown used to that with you, Dwayne. But, no, the video was great. Now, listen.
Thank you, Keith,
really
for sending that
video
over. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, it was a great video. Most people, you know, the Department of Transportation thing was big. They had one employee at 170,000. Now they've got like 1,300. That's a good number.
I mean, you talk about bigger government. Reagan's thing was the solution is not. How did that go?
Government is the problem.
Yeah, exactly. And so now with this administration, it's not just about a bigger government, but a government that makes a lot more money.
Mm-hmm.
Then we got to, you know, one Mississippi, two Mississippi.
Well, you know what? The purpose of a bureaucracy, the main goal of any bureaucracy is to just continue. Putting aside any of its other, you know, ostensibly what its job is and what it's supposed to be doing, a bureaucracy's main goal is to just continue. It just to live, just to go on. And it's to not go away. So any of these new programs that government starts, it's really hard to get them to go away. So that's why I don't like new programs being started, and the government is just nothing but waste. Everything it does is it can't spend a smart nickel, let alone a brilliant dollar. Everything it spends is just, you know, if you go through and check out what they do, it's all just idiocy because it's not their money. You know, they spent $300,000 doing that flyover of the jet so they could take a picture of it. You could have photoshopped that with a guy for, you know, $50, and he would have done a great job photoshopping and making even a better looking picture, but they spent $300,000 having the jet fly by the Twin Towers or whatever the thing was for the postage stamp or whatever a while back. That's just one out of zillions of examples. And like I said, the more they spend, the more everybody gets a raise. You know, the balanced budget agreement, I think there's only one state in the union, and that's Oregon, I think, that has a statewide balanced budget, and their budget is balanced. But you'll never see that in the government because they don't want a balanced budget.
You know, that's amazing to me that Oregon is the only state that has that, because I lived in Oregon for a while.
Yeah.
And mostly everybody just sits around on the couch and smokes pot and collects a government check. Mm-hmm. I don't know how they pull that off. And,
I don't know. You might have to check that up because that was from Johnny had mentioned that to me this morning. But he said that they have they're
no slight to the people in Oregon. Like I said, I used to live there, and that was just mm-hmm. my friends. I'm just telling you from the street. This is not mm-hmm. some talking down on people. I live there. I was a citizen. I had a lot of friends. I ran a business there. I had employees, and that was just my take on it. Everybody was, you know, not everybody, but a large percentage of the people that I knew were getting some kind of an entitlement, and that was way back in the 90s. So maybe it's all changed. I don't know.
Well, we should check that out, and if somebody finds something to be different. But my point is about the balanced budget thing. The government doesn't want to, or I can't say the whole government, but it's very unlikely we're ever going to have that. That's where the government has to live within its means. It's against the law for it to spend more than it takes in. I mean, if I go to a bank and I take a loan out for a $100,000 car, and then I say, well, yeah, I'm really having a great time, I'd like to get another one of these, and I come back to the bank, and if they say, well, you know, your income's only $35,000 a year, you really can't do this anymore, that's the right thing to do. They're supposed to stop me because they know the odds of getting paid back are very, very slim. But the government doesn't work that way. The government just spends more and more and more, and it, no matter what it's taking in. And then when it finally realizes it needs to take more in, guess who they go after? The very population that supports the government. And they take more from us. And that, you know, goes on and on. I want to remind people that in the history of presidents, the largest and longest expansion of growth, economic growth, here's a tester question, where poor people, middle class, and rich people all did the best ever. What presidency was that? Take a guess.
Ronald Reagan?
Ronald Reagan. God, you're good.
Yeah.
God, I take back everything I've said about people from Oregon. that's exactly right. That's the largest and most sustained economic growth in the history of America occurred during his presidency. And what did he do when he came into office? Not that doing these exact things, because every situation is different, but he cut the size of government. He cut corporate taxes. He cut personal income taxes. He gave incentives, big incentives and opportunities to business, and he took the economy from 1982, which was in the depths of a recession that we had back then, not as worse as now, but all the way up to 1988 when he was out of office. That was the longest and most sustained period of prosperity in the history of our country. And, you know, a lot of the things that he did, like managing the size of government, government out of the way of business, managing regulations, all that stuff, really made a big difference. And that's a lot of the things that the Republican Party and independents are trying to get done now. But our current government wants to do the exact opposite of all those things. They want to spend more, increase the size of government, on and on. All right, I'll shut up. I can hear the text coming in.
Actually, one guy left. He said,
I've had enough of this.
This is exactly what he said. I'm just going to, you know, and I'm not going to run from this. If he comes back, I'll say it again. I joined this organization to learn to trade, not to be exposed to your obnoxious right-wing agenda. Now, here's the deal.
Running the country into the ground isn't obnoxious enough, right?
We've been talking the same stuff for, I don't know, like
five years.
And you get a free trial before you become a member of this organization, so we should change our stripes just because you decide to enlist? Well, that's not going to happen. I mean, we treat everyone with dignity and respect. We call a shovel a shovel. I mean, you know, we're unhappy with the current state of our government and our administration, and we're protected by that, I don't know, that thing, they did it on parchment, the Constitution, right?
Yeah.
It says that we can say what we think is the truth. I mean, we can't yell fire in a theater or any of that kind of garbage, but, I mean, if we disagree with the way things are being ran, we have the freedom to say that, and anybody that doesn't want to listen to us say it, they have the freedom to not listen to it. I mean, it's just, that is such an easy thing to figure out. So, I don't know. I don't get out of bed and go, unlike Michael Savage or that other nutcase on Sirius Radio, Howard, I don't get out of bed and every morning with the agenda of, who can I aggravate today? Who can I make mad today? Who can I upset today? That's not my point and purpose. You know, in fact, it's quite very much the opposite. So,
also, if I can throw this in, Dwayne, the radio program's good. If he just listens through a little of it or turns it down, there's some good market stuff that goes on the radio.
It really is.
We give out some good stuff. I mean, if he knew about the free trades or knew about your stuff or whatever, you know, whatever stuff we give out, we get around to it. And sometimes we do go a little bit, you know, if you get me going on something, I could go quite a while, but he could be just as upset if we're talking about the inner life a little bit. You know, we could go on to that a while, but that's part, you know, it's just part and parcel to the radio program. There is a lot of good information. I might even be willing to go ahead and say that there could be, in the whatever period of time we talk about the markets, just as good anyway as information as you're going to get anywhere, possibly better in whatever period of time that we really are talking about the markets. We try to get to them. Sometimes we get off track a little bit, and that's just part of how it goes. But you just have to roll with us a little bit.
CAM, you can see now, I respect your right to call me the Christian right-wing baloney channel and let you stay in here and hang out, because I have a little button right here that I could click, and it would boot you out, and then every time you tried to come back in, it would boot you out again. And then I would eventually block your IP address, and you could never, ever come in here again, even under assumed name. But see, I don't do that. I don't. And see, now you're using profanity, so I am going to go ahead and just boot you out. Because I don't use profanity, okay? So now I am going to just go and press my little button, and I'm going to boot you out. And
you know, I do want to say something about that as well. This is just in general. But profanity is a weakness. It's not a strength.
Horrible.
If you can't make your point without using profanity, it's a much more powerful point. But if you end up always using people who use profanity a lot, that's actually a sign of weakness. That means you really can't get your ideas clearly expressed. You just have to throw the F word or some other word in there in order to really make your point. But that's really nothing more than just a worthless crutch. I mean, we've all been through it. We've all used bad language. But you should really, just as a generality, whoever you are, not just to this guy, but you should learn to make your point as best as you can without ever having to use a swear word. And you'll find that you'll make much better points that way, because swear words are an emphasis on something. But if the point hasn't been well made, you're emphasizing a pretty poorly made point with your swear word. How about make a really, really good point and just let it sit there, because it gets through to people a lot better, I think. Just my personal opinion.
I agree. Yeah, I agree.
But when I see people use that a lot, I know that's, you know, secretly to myself, I know that's a sign of weakness on their part. It's not a sign of strength. It's actually just a sign of you not being able to think through a thought and really express your point well. Or if you express your point well, you happen to not think that that stands on its own enough, and you've got to emphasize it with whatever word. Try living your life a day without that, if that's what your thing is. See if you can, and it'll probably improve your day, by the way, too, because not only do other people have to listen to that crap, but so do you, and it affects you as well. You, the person saying the bad word, you, the person trying to infect other people with your, you know, with your shock value because you use the bad word.
Yeah.
Well, that also has shock value on you as well.
Well, you know, many years ago, I was in the Navy as a young man, and we've all heard the term cuss like a sailor. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was raised around that rowdy bunch as a kid, a teenager, even though my parents, you know, were good, upstanding folks and didn't use profanity. Yeah, the kids I ran with, they did, and it was, you know, F this and S that and blah, blah, and then I went in the Navy and it got even worse, and that was my language. And I'm I had a fairly, you know, exotic IQ and all that, but, you know, I still use this crazy foul language, and it wasn't until I stopped using it and stepped back that I realized how truly repulsive it was. And this isn't about being any kind of goody-two-shoes. It was just simply, I didn't realize. I mean, now, I knew better than to curse in front of certain people, like, you know, older people or a pastor or, you know, the banker. It was just when you'd get with that one crowd, you know, you could just flip off the F-bombs left and right, and yeah, you were just... But then I reached a point in my life where I stopped that, and that the whole sound of that just became so horribly offensive, and I tried to imagine myself speaking that language again, and I just mentally could not even put myself back into those shoes. Nor do I want to, but I mean, it's just, yeah. I mean, anyway. So I just didn't want anybody to think I've always been a goody two shoes. I used to only have one shoe.
That's right.
I had to walk uphill to school both ways in that one shoe.
Well, Dwayne, I think we've the three markets I wanted to cover, which had to do with, you know, the euro, the S&P, and the Japanese yen. I've covered those. There are some other important things that are probably in the works as well, but we're right at a really for the S&P, we're coming pretty close to a critical juncture here, as I mentioned, and so it makes the rest of this week very important, and we may have a roadmap based on this a little bit later. So for those people who get the free trades from Bert, you may keep an eye out for this. It's not a guarantee that this is going to be a free trade yet, but if it is, you can get them through Bert at Daniels Trading. Just go over to their website, or Dwayne, you can give the number out.
One other thing, 1-866-928-3310.
One other thing I'd like to mention is we are having a webinar on Thursday, this Thursday at 1:30 Pacific time. That's 15 minutes after the market closes, whatever time zone that you're in. And it's a webinar on the reflected wave, the turning point methodology that allows us to call these tops and bottoms, the weekly low in the euro, which ultimately inverted, but it still went up 400 ticks off that bottom, the Japanese yen bottom, the euro bottom that they're putting in now, and the S&P bottom. All of those could be known by anybody who understands that methodology. And we're going to have a webinar on it, so you can come. It's totally free. I'm going to be giving it, and I'll go over all the details of what it does and what it's capable of doing. And you can also go to masterforecastercourse.com and read about it there and what some of the history of it is. It's an ad for it, but it's being held, the seminar is held on August 20th and 21st at the Mirage Hotel out here in beautiful Las Vegas. And if you come there, you'll be very well taken care of, you'll be very well fed, and you'll learn some information that I believe there is no other information like it with regard to being able to catch turning points. And I don't believe there's been anything published in the last 100 years as a turning point methodology that even comes close to this technique, which is not a extension of any of those other techniques that you may already know about, which includes Fibonacci and Gann and Elliott and many, many other types of attempts at doing turning points. So if you have that interest, come to the webinar on Thursday. That's this Thursday, 2 days from now, 1:30, and we'll go over it, and you can ask questions while you're there, et cetera, and learn more about it and see if this is something that might be that's something you would want to put in your trading toolkit so that you can really know with a great deal of certainty that you've got something going and you can really take good advantage of it. So, by the way, the euro in inverting on the weekly chart, that's something peculiar to roadmaps. The whole concept of an inversion doesn't exist in reflected wave. But in the other, in this later work where there's the three-dimensionality, the inversion can happen. And so I just want to make the distinction that that's not something that happens in reflected wave. The bottoms are bottoms, the tops are tops, et cetera, and, you know, in the great, great majority of cases.
Hey, Bill, had a question, and I'll let you answer it. I know the answer, but you can answer it.
Oh, okay.
Because it's addressed to you. Is the volatility cycle that you talk about a proprietary indicator?
No, it's actually not. It's what's proprietary about it is just that others haven't discovered the principle by which all three dimensions interact with each other in everything, not just the market. This the volatility cycle actually exists everywhere. When a train crashes in Madrid and a whole bunch of people unfortunately die, there's a way you could connect the three-dimensionality of what's going on local in that area and know that something big and important was going to happen, just as an example, because that would be considered volatility, because something moved, not the physical movement of the train, but that normal life flipped and moved a really big distance. Like, unfortunately, a bunch of people died. A lot of equipment, trains, and other things were damaged all in a very short period of time. That's volatility. So the principle that is being expressed in the market when the market moves a great distance in a short period of time based on the volatility cycle occurs in other areas of life as well, airplane crashes, whatever you want to think of, anything where things shift from the normal speed of life to very fast and rapid, or from the normal events of life to something very big. I'm convinced, although I haven't done the work specifically in those areas, you know, to do it locally to a specific location and et cetera, the fact is that the principle is so broad that you could predict not the character of the event, which in this case we're talking about a train wreck, but you could know that in a certain locality something really big and volatile was about to happen. You could, if you really wanted to, I believe, you could probably get it down to a very specific location where that was going to happen. I know it sounds unbelievable, but it's the same principle that we're using to know that the Japanese yen would bottom and have a big volatile move up from that bottom, as you saw on the Japanese yen chart. That's the same thing, but it's expressed differently in the physical world. That's in the world of prices, they have the three dimensions of time, space, and volume. But in the world of the three-dimensional real world, the natural world, there is the three dimensions are there, but there's much, much more that can happen. In the price chart, only certain things can happen. But in the real world, many, many other things can happen that can't happen because the price world, you know, is limited by the construction of the indices. So something in the real world can happen, and it could be located at a specific time, of course, because time's part of it, and really even a specific location, like something, you know, you could maybe say within this quarter mile in Madrid on such and such a date, on plus or minus a day, because that's what the accuracy is, you could say something, a volatility cycle is going to hit here. That's how you could put something like that together. That's leading more towards the scientific use of this, or maybe not science, but whatever the term is, the use of this to predict large events or very volatile events. So it's not based on an indicator. It's based on how those three dimensions interact with each other. And those three dimensions, if you don't know it, are time being the main one, because time can't be messed with, it can't be adjusted, it can't be shifted back and forth as we know it. Number two is space, which is what price moves through to go from $1 to $100. It has to move through a form of space where all these other numbers of 2, 3, 4, and so on exist. So space is the elemental thing that's required for price to move at all. And then finally, you have volume, which is the depth of participation. How many people are in the room participating in this market? Those three qualities are the three qualities or dimensions of the market as I see them. Maybe other people will have a different viewpoint on how they, you know, work, etc. So no, it's not an indicator. It probably would take a lot of work to put it into an indicator, but it probably could be put into an indicator. But it's very easily calculatable once you've understood the principle. And it is a principle. It's not a law. It's not 100% guaranteed, because nothing in technical analysis or life is. But it has a very high probability of occurring, and we've made dozens of demonstrations of the volatility cycle, and it just even the euro, which inverted, that itself I mentioned on the week of it was a volatility cycle, and you can see that's, you would need a volatility cycle to make the euro move 800 ticks. It's not going to move 800 ticks without some volatility. So that was why I was excited about that setup. It's unfortunate that it inverted, but the fact is that the cycle still hit, and it still did what it's supposed to do, and that makes that sort of proves out that the market needed to do that. And so this is something that, you know, we demonstrate and we give away right now on these free trades when we come out with them, which has been somewhat less recently. But you can get those free trades from Bert. A lot of times we won't identify the other than on the radio program. And I wish the fellow that was complaining earlier was listening and on, because he could understand that we really do talk about markets quite a bit and how they work, and not only from my perspective, but from Dwayne's perspective with his system and whoever else comes on. And we do get pretty intense and involved in it. Because, you know, he made a fast decision to just, and that's unfortunate, and maybe he was having a bad day, and I'll give all that
no,
to him.
No, it's kind of an ongoing thing. You know what? You know what's, you know what's the funniest thing of all? And I can't even say the word, because then it would put me in his camp.
You can say it and say I don't really mean it, and
well,
then we'll understand.
Here, I'll put dashes in there. If you use the other word for butt, okay,
mm-hmm.
which would be like the word for donkey, okay, if you used mm-hmm. that word, and you said you are that, and then you also said you're a hole, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's
mm-hmm.
no W in that.
Oh, that is pathetic, I know. If you're going to use a swear word, at least spell it correctly.
At least spell it right. Jiminy crickets. Okay.
Anyway, so these are all things to think about. Now, listen, I want to tell everybody that it bothers me that I don't know in the roadmap, in the three-dimensionality stuff that we're talking about, when an inversion is going to come. And I'm a little burned out right now, because it takes energy and thought and drive and persistence to delve in and go down a bunch of blind alleys to go find this stuff. And sometimes it just lands in your lap, like the roadmap did for me about a year and a half ago, or almost 2 years ago. But that's paid for by work I did it previously. It all kind of just came together. But in most cases, you have to spend some time and energy, and it does take effort to think outside the box. It's not that easy to think outside the box. It can be. You have to practice it. But it still is difficult even for me. I mean, when I say even, I mean because I make a practice of trying to think outside the box. It still is difficult. So I'm saying to you that I would love to figure out a way of having a high probability of way of knowing that an inversion either is or is not going to occur with regard to the roadmap. I just don't have the energy right now to burn it. And I do want to do it, and I probably will at some point really spend the time and energy to really address that question, like, what is really happening here? Because I've said this before, there really is no such thing as an inversion. It's only an inversion because I have a certain expectation, and I have to name it something when it doesn't do what I expect. This time it went down 800 ticks instead of up. So there's really, in the market's perspective, it's not inverting at all. It's like the sun. From the sun's perspective, things are rotating around it. But from the perspective of planets, the sun is rotating around the planet. So it's a matter of perspective. So from my perspective, it looks like it inverted. But in reality, from the market's perspective, there's no such inversion. The market simply was doing what it was going to do anyway. And so I'm hoping to, at some point, spend some time and really see if there is some other simple, perhaps, way to identify when an inversion happens, because that would be a very powerful piece of information to add to our, you know, to the repertoire, so that you could, you know, have even a better trade, or the few times that inversions happen, know about them or have a high probability of knowing about them. It's really interesting, and I'd love to do it. I just am right now, I'm not up for it, but I will be at some point. And if I do find something, I would love to demonstrate it on the program, like as an example, demonstrating that we actually are expecting an inversion and have it happen, something like
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, that would be an interesting addition to the repertoire.
Mm-hmm. To the repertoire. So,
are
anyway,
you looking for higher prices here on the ES?
I'm sorry?
Are you looking for higher prices today?
Well, I'll tell you something. If we have continued hourly closes above that 1312 level, we're in a time frame right now where ordinarily, and this is we've been talking, so I haven't really focused on this, but ordinarily this is the hour of today that would normally mark a bottom in the S&P. So we just, we're about 15 minutes into, 14, 15 minutes into the hour. So we have some time left for this market to work here. But if you had an interest, this is the on-time hour for a bottom, and that we would expect a very tradable reversal to the upside out of this. Volatility is very, very quiet right now, but this would be a place at least to initially start to look for you know, a tradable bounce off this. I kind of like the idea, and again, we've been talking a lot here, but it would help me just psychologically if I was trading this to see a little bit more test of 12 and then a close back above that to keep me, that would sort of flip some of my switches where I'm kind of just looking at the market and going, hey, I like that, you know, yeah, look what they did there. And then I get in, and I've told you so many times that's kind of how I, that's not kind of how I trade, that's exactly how I trade. You know, if I had to quit all of my other or anything else that I was doing to try to, you know, make a living, if I was just going to trade solely alone, I wouldn't want to change my trading style. I would want to keep it exactly the same because I found through many years of experience that the idea of making money has been an interruption to me, guess what? Making money. So it really has. And I've gone through that before on the program and talked to you about it, but just in general, just briefly, I really don't particularly care. It's a very relaxed kind of not caring. It's not a mean not caring. It's not sarcastic, and it's not sour grapes. It's just sort of a neutral not caring. I'm just watching. I'm just simply watching. It has a purity to it, and then at some point I see something that I like, and if I see enough of that, I go, you know what? I would love to be in this, and that's how I trade. It's just that simple. That's the genesis of how my buildup happens before I trade something. And you know, obviously it's not 100% perfectly that way. Sometimes there's a little bit more or less of something, but for the most part, it's a very positive experience. So positive meaning it's not got a lot of torment in it. Gotcha. Torment is probably not a good experience, so I consider mm-hmm. torment sort of a negative experience. So yeah, so if you do want to watch, we're in the on time period, just on a kind of a short term basis here for the market to potentially bottom, but we're early in the hour yet. I'd give them a little bit more time here before I jump on this yet. And if I had my way, I'd like to see a little bit lower, you know, even a shot at 12 and then an hourly mm-hmm. close above it. Just my preference, you know, it doesn't have to work out exactly that way. But this would potentially be then a very, very tradable bottom for an advance here. So keep that in mind. I hope that's useful. And Dwayne, I'm thinking I got one of your customers to leave your site today by talking about stuff like that.
Well, you got one to leave, and I threw the other one out.
Okay, you got one to leave and one to throw them out. So I think I'm, you know, I'm doing a pretty good job for you. You know,
that's so rare that I throw anybody out. But if, you know, I've just, you know, we're not going to do the profanity thing. If you disagree, then you can disagree, but you can do it, you know, in a language that is acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
I don't talk like that, and so you're not going to talk that way in my trading room, period.
Yeah. So it is the Christian Financial Radio Network. There's not a lot of swearing in the Bible, is there?
No. Well, there's damnation, let's see, and yeah, I suppose, but you know, you're right, there's not.
Well, there you go. Okay, well, Dwayne, as always, hope that was good. Hope that was interesting. And I'll be here tomorrow, of course. And don't forget, we have this webinar on Thursday. If you want, you can sign. Oh, by the way, if you want to sign up for the webinar, come to the website.
That's good, Joe. Joe goes, you honored your stop.
That's good. I like that.
Yeah.
See, those are bright people. What was I saying? If you want to come to the webinar, come to our website at pagetrader.com. And you can hit on the trader's blog or trading blog, and then right inside there, there's a link. You can click on that, and it'll automatically set you up for the webinar coming up on Thursday. And, Dwayne, as always, it's a pleasure to be on the program with you. It's a pleasure to get rid of some of your, unnecessary customers.
Yeah.
That's the job I've got.
You know, what I find interesting is that anyone gets that worked up over something they have no control over. I mean, you get pretty worked up on the conservative side, and that's the side of the street I happen to stand on. But the, you know, I don't know. I'm just a little detached from it all. I mean, I certainly know what I believe and why I believe it, and I have very strong feelings about what I believe. But you know, I'm not beside myself. I'm a little detached from it. I mean, I don't know. It's just stuff. What do you mean it's stuff? I mean, it's our, you know. Yeah, you know what? Most of the people in this listening audience, not to be morose or morbid or any of that, but most of the people in this listening audience, 40, 50 years from now, okay, You're going to be a memory in somebody's photo album as far as this world is concerned, as far as taxes and jobs and the price of gas. And, you know, I mean, yeah, it's important. It's important what gas costs when you go to buy some, and it's important how much groceries have gone up, and you got to go to the grocery store and do that. And so, but, you know, pick your battles and determine what's really important in life. And if there's something that you believe in, stand up for what you believe in. But don't become so attached to that thing that it consumes you and literally becomes who you are. I mean, that's just crazy, in my opinion. So, and guess what? This is America. I can have an opinion.
That's right. So, well, Dwayne, there you are. One thing I would like to say on your behalf also is that, you know, for the new people, people probably heard this before, but Dwayne actually originally, like over 5 years ago, went to great trouble to make sure that the guests that he has on his program, I mean, he doesn't have as many as he used to, but he really did make a big effort to make sure that the people were offering something legitimately useful to traders. And so he went through a lot of time and trouble to do that, as opposed to a site perhaps that just goes out and, you know, gets as many people paying them for whatever, you know, to be on the program as whatever. It really meant something to him. And I actually personally had conversations with Dwayne early on encouraging him to try to make the site more financial so that there was an income stream for him, because he did this for many years for no money at all, you know, getting up and doing his program as it was at that time. So, you know, there's a history to behind all this, and he... a part of his history is to try to make sure that the site is giving some really good information out, even though we do talk about other subjects, and it is a radio program. But, you know, he's coming from a place where he wants to give the best thing that he can give out. He's not coming from a place of sheer, you know, financial status, not just a business. It really means something to him to do it right. And I know that for a fact because I've had conversations from me to him, private conversations, trying to induce him for a couple of years when I first was on, to try to make the site more, you know, to bring some income in for him so that it wasn't just for nothing, because he was working hard back then. He didn't have a system, a trading system, but, you know, to keep income coming in. And we had offered to pay to be on the show and all this other stuff, and he turned that down. So he's coming from a very positive place, and I think that if anybody, even people who got upset or whatever, if they do come back and get a chance to listen a little bit more, they'll see that there really is a lot of decent and, in many cases, really good information that comes off on this program from a number of different people that come on, including Mike Reed from TradeStalker and, you know, just all of us, the few other guests that he has on, that can really could really be helpful to somebody. And so if, you know, a person like that takes the time and trouble, gets past their anger, they may find that there's something really valuable here. Maybe, maybe not. But at least I think it's worth a shot. Otherwise, to be honest with you, I wouldn't be on the program. As much as I love doing the program, I'd find somewhere else to do it. Because, you know, I'm getting pretty darn good at this. So I could find someone else somewhere else to do it. But I really like doing this here, and I really believe in where Dwayne's coming from. And I think other people do as well. So,
well, that's very kind of you to say, David. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
And you know,
I think it's all real.
There's, you all know, you get a constant slew of emails in your inbox every day hawking this thing and that thing and the other thing, and any of those guys would be more than happy to come on this radio program and take up airspace and, you know, grab a hold of your attention and try to convince you that, you know, what they've got is something, you know, unique and different and ordinary. And, I'm not saying no one out there has anything different, unique, ordinary, or good, but there's a bit of a vetting process that people, that I kind of put people through, and over the years, only a few people, you know, have passed the test, and even then, I haven't always been perfect, but at least I've tried, you know. I mean, I could just throw open the doors and we could run 24/7 with every Tom, Dick, and Harry pitching every, you know, crazy harebrained scheme for trading the markets, and they would give me money for that. They would say, here, take this money and let me, you know, talk to your people. And but I don't, because that's not what I'm about, and it's not why I do this. So, but that was good. I know there are people, David, who are new in the audience who haven't been here the whole almost 6 years now that don't know the backstory. So that was very kind of you to say, and I appreciate
that. No, I think it's valuable to know. I really do. I think it's so people know that you didn't just wake up and do this that way. I was part of, because Dwayne originally came to our site and was a customer actually for a while and invited us on his radio program, which 5 or 6 years ago now, was a different format a little bit, but still he had guests on and stuff. And I think it's important for people to know that that's, you know, this thing has a whole long history to it, to how we got to this point. And it got here, and it's more focused now, I think, about markets than it ever was, because we're actually showing, he's actually showing charts and going through, you know, all the different details about his system. Once in a great, great while, I'll show a chart or something just to make a point. But there's it's much more, it's more than radio. It's live, and you can see the charts and all this stuff. And I'd like to make it even better so that people, you know, don't make the mistake of reading into a few comments that we make that might not suit them, and realize that there is something potentially very valuable here for them as well. And, you know, not to be too quick to run away. So, because I think the charts and all that stuff really add up, obviously, a whole new dimension, speaking of dimensions, to the radio program, you know. So I'm very happy to be here. I think everybody else that's on the program is as well. And I believe in all the guests that he has as well. I mean, I've talked with them all individually. I know they all know what they're doing. This includes Mike Reed from TradeStalker, who's not been on recently. But, you know, I've spoken to all the guests as well, and I like them. So anyway, I think that's good enough. I think that explains it.
And we appreciate you being a part of the show, David. You certainly add a dimension to it that... that is very unique. And
I add three dimensions to it, Dwayne. Don't forget that. Not just one. That's not like that. Your normal guests add one dimension. I add three.
Oh, there you go. That's right. Okay. Just for what it's worth, guys, as we're going off the air here, on this hourly chart, I showed you that we would be looking for a pullback into this area, and then we go down to our smaller time frame, and now we're waiting for this to turn up and confirm what we see on the bigger, and that kind of plays to what David just said about...
Right.
This hour, you know, potential for a low, the on-time hour, maybe he'd like to see it go a little bit lower. And on that smaller time frame, we can see that it's still, our last signal here was, you know, 4-2 trade, in fact, a little bit lower. So
one of the reasons why our stuff sometimes coincides is because I'm actually a customer of yours, and I'm using your stuff to make all these calls. So, I mean, it's just that simple.
But, no, it's, when you got, no, seriously, we try to say this at least once a week, but when you have two entirely different, you know, things pointing at the same place on the wall, you might want to look at that place, you know.
Yeah.
David's work is a whole separate part of the universe than ours, but often our compasses point at the exact same magnetic north, and something good comes out of that, so...
There you are. Well, Dwayne, thanks very much
for having
me on the program.
Take care.
I'll plan on being here tomorrow. The rest of the week is very interesting because of the critical juncture that we're at here on the S&P and a couple of these other markets as well. And thanks to the listeners for those of you who do listen and tolerate all the different things we get into. If it is tolerating, thanks for that. We try to mix it up as best as we can. And now I'll just leave, and I'll see you tomorrow.
You leave me to clean up the mess. All right.
Clean up the mess, Dwayne. All right. Thanks
care.
Again. I'll see you guys tomorrow.
All right, man. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, well, thank you very much for saying that, Jason. And for all of you who have positive comments, you know, this portion of the program is I'm going to use a four-letter word here: free. So it never ceases to amaze me that someone would come to a free radio program and then get kind of torqued or upset about what they hear. I mean, like, if you pay $10 to go to a movie and the movie's horrible, man, you got a right to get up and walk out, but you still don't have a right to yell fire in the theater or to, I don't know, what are you going to do? You paid for the movie ticket, the movie was bad, you're going to tell all your friends, oh, that movie was horrible, don't go see that movie. Okay. You paid for the right to say that. But when you come to a free radio program, if you like it, fine. If you don't, my goodness, there are so many radio channels and TV programs and websites. And so, I don't know. It's almost like a moth to a flame kind of thing. you know. And some people truly do enjoy being kind of feeling a little tortured or a little angry or a little upset or a little, you know, I don't know. So anyway, just know I never get out of bed figuring out how I can aggravate people today. My goal every day that my feet hit the floor is to first say thank you, God, that my feet hit the floor. And then to just simply spend my day trying to, you know, love God and love people. And the most difficult part of that is me, you know, myself getting in the way of me doing the most simple thing that I want to do, which is to love God and love people. This radio program, although sometimes it may sound angry or bitter when we get off into this whole political thing, it may not sound like an expression of love, but I assure you, it is. Do we now have a business model that David brought up that we didn't have for 5 years? Yeah, we actually do. You know, it's time to pay the bills. But you know what? That's covered in the two-hour live training room every morning, and that's covered in the community workshop on Thursday nights. And guess what? In the live training room every morning for 2 hours, we don't talk about politics. We talk about the market. And Thursday night in the community workshop, we don't talk about things going on in the world. We talk about the market and the psychology of trading. So people who have, you know, put their coin of the realm on the table and say, I want to be a partner, those people can be a partner without ever having to hear about any of our political viewpoints and whether we're on the left side of the street or the right side of the street, or if you maybe just wish we would stand in the middle of the street, you know. So, I don't know. It is what it is, and it'll continue to be an expression of my love for you and for all people, you know. That's why I've gotten out of bed every day for the last, you know, April actually made 6 years. 6 years I've been doing this. In the first 5 years, fully funded, just, you know, by me. I'm not bragging, it's just something that I chose to do. And after being coaxed by David and many others, like my wife, said, you know what, can you at least, you know, pay the electric bill? You know what, she's right, he's right. And I really should have done it from the get-go, but I have no regrets. I have no regrets. I believe that we collectively made a great contribution to society for a number of years, and to the best of my ability, we will continue to do so going forward. Will everyone always agree with us? No. You know, there's an old saying that when two people agree on everything, one of them's not necessary. You know, that might be the case here. So, anyway, just know that I have a much love for you all. And Jason just interrupted me and said, there goes the ES. Thank you, Jason, for that little interruption. There it goes. He's right. It popped. Okay. Now, here's an example of this whole thing kind of coming together. Okay, we want this to be blue and turning up. Okay, we already got blue here. We're moving up. What we want now is a pullback into this area here. Eamon, you're welcome. And I hope I answered your question early on. I sent you a little message. I don't know if you got it. Okay, so the one-hour backdrop, right? We were looking for price. We'd gotten the white candle, potential change of trend. And we got the blue candles, blue MA1. We're now into a bullish trend based on a one-hour time frame. And we said, you know, let's see if we can get price to pull back. Now, notice how when I drew this line across here, the MA1 was down at 1312. Okay, it continued to rise until it connected with price right there. Looks like, what was that price? 1313.50 is where they actually met up. So we go back over here, and 1313.50 is right here. Okay, this is where they met up. But on the smaller time frame, We don't have anything to put us long in the smaller time frame. Actually, this pullback right here to 13.1550, that actually is something that could put us into a long trade. And that would coincide with that. Do you guys see that? Now the MA1 is at 13.1535, so you have to round that up to 13.1550. Because you can't buy 13.1533. Let's see. Yeah, let's see if we can buy that. We'll probably still get an opportunity. This hasn't fully turned up here. We could have been in earlier and hit it 13.1550 right there. Let it take another drop. Where are we at over here? Ah, you know what? We're still below the sentiment indicator. Tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to pass right now because of this. If we're going to get a nice bullish move up out of here, maybe we want to take out that little top there at 1320. If we go back to the sentiment indicator, see yesterday's high, or the closing high. So that run up yesterday was right here. You see, I see that 1320? 1320. Okay. Now, from this price, 17... what price were we trying to get along at? 750. You know, up to 20... Yeah, up to that swing high, that's not a bad trade, and, you know, hindsight's a beautiful thing. You know, it pulled back, and there it goes. But I'm still okay that I took it off, because, see the struggle we're having here? Okay, we poked through the sentiment indicator, the line in the sand a bit, and then we dropped, and then we tried it again, and we failed. So, if I know that I have this potential resistance, I don't have to take this trade. Look at all this downside action that we had, okay? That stretched out over a couple days if you include Sunday night. Half a day here, half a day here, full day here, way down into here. So, did that pull back right there to the MA1 at 13.1350 run four and a half points already? It did. Okay. Could you have taken that? Yep. Could you have waited for this? Yep. Could you have sidestepped the trade entirely like I just did because of that? Yep. Now, if we get up here above 1320, then our sentiment indicator is going to turn bullish. Okay, we then have a bullish small time frame against a bullish larger 1 hour backdrop. Now that's a pretty good place to be. And I know some people are going, but that worked out. Okay. That short trade right there, that worked out too. This long trade over here, that worked out too. Okay. The short trade was coming off of 13.19. Right there. 13.19. Back into this. So, you know, that's a personal decision that you can make. You know, this thing's red and falling. Got right up to the sentiment indicator yesterday and then dropped some enormous... This is just an intraday chart. You can't see the Globex activity where it went down to 1296. But now it's trying to break out above this 1320 high. Now, Jason, you pointed that trade out. I'm curious if you took it. From 15.5, it's now gone 5 points. I'll say that again, from 15.5, in this short time we've been talking, the thing ran 5 points. About half the daily range. No remorse. We watched it all come together. And now it's got to prove itself right here. And if it breaks out of this area, there'll be pullbacks along the way as it makes its way up. Jason says it jumped out of the zone too quickly. Should have taken the 15 level. Yeah. Well, you know, now you bring up a really good point that I hadn't even thought about because I don't have them on this chart. We have a weekly trading zone right there, which it still moved 5 points above that. So here's the deal, Jason. The fact that you spotted it and you were on top, that's really good. It's really good that you saw it. You saw it coming. Now look what it's done. The thing has run from the spot that we initially said pull back to the MA1. Remember, it's red, it's white, it's blue, pulls back to the MA1. This was almost too picture perfect because it won't always be this picture perfect like it was there and there and there. See, sometimes it'll be like that. That's pretty picture perfect. And a nice 8-point move so far. Or 7. Yeah. Okay, that's it, guys. I got to run. Time is up. Thanks so much for tuning in. And whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with His mercy and with His grace. And I'll see you at the bell.
Remember this, there is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Dwayne Reeves, his co-hosts and guests. To learn more about trading e-mini futures or to take a 1-week free trial in our live trading room, call 1-866-928-3310. 866-928-3310.
Information discussed on this radio program should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed securities broker or financial planner before making any investment decisions.